Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. We're going to have a little bit of technical excitement tonight because phones are acting strange because Venus is stationing in the sky. So what we're doing is three astrologers gather every Monday night at 11 o'clock on the Internet, and we talk to you about what's going on in the heavens above and how it feels. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. And we are also here, Mark.
Mark Waltz in New York City, along with Ann, only over on the west side, and no bright red desk.
Bright red desk, right.
No, I'm hanging out.
You're hanging out, shading and enjoying that 63-degree sunshine, and I think Heather's here too. Heather?
Yes, this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the banks of the Mississippi in Minnesota on a beautiful, warm summer night.
Okay. And what we do here at Excess Astrology is we talk about what's going on in the heavens above, and then you get to figure out how you want to work with it, and we talk to you about what we see and how it works and what it feels like. So I think the big excitement this week are two things, the eclipse at the end of the week, and, of course, Venus stopping right now in the heavens. Very exciting.
Yes.
So what do you guys think about the Venus station? I think we'll start with the big, gorgeous girl up there pausing in the sky.
Isn't she beautiful? I just did a workshop a few weeks ago with Ariel Gutman looking at the point of Venus station that happens, like as we're happening tomorrow, which is where Venus turns around, and when she conjuncts the sun, how that point resonates for backwards and forwards throughout our charts, the point of where the Venus and sun conjunct before we were born. But to get there, Venus does this wonderful loop, and it turns and it marks going backwards over some of the old material. And I find Venus retrograde a really juicy, creative time and bringing up a lot of work that, you know, Mercury doesn't like to go backwards, but Venus kind of likes going back and remembering old art forms or finding old friends or reaching into some of this. It's not always easy to meet a brand new person or to get, to break into new territory, but it can be a really rich time. That's my experience with it. How do you see it, Mark?
I like that you're pointing out the difference from Mercury retrograde, especially Heather, because Heather always has a hard time with Mercury retrograde.
Oh, I'm so mercurial. Yes, it just gets
right?
me.
Uh-huh. But you actually sort of relish the Venus retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know how to use it, and it is something, you know, we all have. Venus really likes to enjoy things, and it shows how we enjoy things that bring us pleasure and also how we enjoy other people. And so when Venus stations, it is a time that we really focus on that, and we do kind of relive or remember a lot of social activity, people that were in our lives that we've had a mm-hmm. relationship with. Now, of course, you know, there are some of those that we don't want to revisit, and that can be a little bit difficult. But nevertheless, there's
mm-hmm.
always something in a relived experience with other people or another individual that is worth looking at. So if you're experiencing sort of a difficult revisit on a relationship, don't dismiss the aspects of it that were worthwhile and that are worth remembering.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a good way to get through it, is to just bring your focus more to what was good
mm-hmm.
and try to drop the rest. Just let it go, because it's in the past.
Even remember it. You know, I know I had one of my clients called her ex had come by to say he was getting engaged and he wanted to tell her, so she didn't hear it from somebody else, which caused her to kind of go through, you know, a whole, what are my relationships? Where am I in my relationships? What am I doing? And I think one of the things that Venus does is because she is tied up so much with our feeling state, we often find on Venus retrograde that our feelings are deeply evoked. And this particular Venus retrograde is pretty big because she's echoing the eclipse from last summer, too, that was at 23. Venus is in Gemini stationing. The eclipse at 23 of Gemini Sag, because that was a big one. And so Venus has stopped at that point, and so she's going to be bringing that story up as well as all of our other Venus history stories. So she's really important. And our desire nature really is one of the big parts of our lives, you know, what it is we want, what we call for, what incites us, what inspires us. So, you know, I always love Venus retrograde for that. And this is a Gemini one. So it should actually be, you know, aside from, like, communication stuff that gets a little screwy just because Venus is... you know, double-check your communications. Don't go running off and getting upset. Because it is Gemini, and so she can talk funny. But, it, you know, the rest of it, I think, is going to be not so bad, you know, as an energy.
And Venus is, at the moment, as she turns retrograde, she's trine Saturn, which stabilizes some of the emotional flotsam that can happen right here on that issue. But it may be a little hard to know, you know, lots of feeling, but not easy to know what we feel during that time. As she turns stationary... in that trine to Saturn, you may find that you are missing or remembering a father figure that has gone before, an old mentor or a teacher, and that just the emotions might start off. Now, Venus, as she's turned retrograde, is in mutual reception with Mercury, who's at Taurus right now. And it's interesting that there is Mercury is in Taurus and the Sun and Jupiter just conjunct in Taurus, and the ruler of Taurus is turning retrograde. So it's interesting layers here. I thought it was that Venus-Saturn trine with Venus stationary. I thought that was interesting that today President Obama did the graduation speech for Barnard College, for the first time, I think, that a president went to a woman's college and gave a rousing, you know, you are the leaders of the future speech to the women, you know, in response to the war on women recently. Really powerful speech that he gave. And I thought that was a beautiful Venus-Saturn trine example. And it'll be, but this, that Mercury in Taurus is now in a grand trine this week with Mars and Pluto all in Earth signs. So even as Venus turns retrograde, and it's a great time to get into art projects, to get out material stuff and make art with it and find our expression from that. But if we can't go muck about in paints or, you know, our garden, and it feels like it's an important time to put effort into what really matters to us right now, as that with that grand trine in Earth signs. We need to talk about it, Mercury, Mars, make some effort with it, and Pluto, make it transformative and empower ourselves with it. So it's going to be interesting to watch what gets seeded in our life this week with that grand trine.
Yeah, and it isn't the eclipse that's right behind it is also an eclipse receiving payoff for work done. So the work projects you've been working on, the things you've been really struggling to put together or get accomplished or get set up and running, they're going to really kick off this next couple weeks as that eclipse takes place and say, okay, here's your reward. Here's, you know, you've done all this work. Here's what you've gotten from the work you've done. So that other, that's the other part of Venus. It's, you know, our desires getting satisfied on kind of a more fundamental level than perhaps they normally are. You know, Mark, how do you see the eclipse coming?
Yeah, it's always, when we have an eclipse at 0 degrees or something, it's always extra significant, you know, because it lights up all the sort of startup energy throughout the chart. And this one's at
zero Gemini. So there's, I think it comes to us with a sense that we all have the possibility to start from zero, start over. And, you know, there's a sense of not having to rip up things from before, but rather just be able to start something fresh. And a little bit like just, you know, when you picture one of those art easels with the, you know, the big pad of paper and you just flip over the page you've been working on and you get a fresh page. It's as easy as that, you know. So I think that's a good way to use this zero Gemini energy of just whatever has been on the sheet of paper, just flip it over and start on a fresh page.
And come up with a new vision of what you want to do, And sometimes it's just really just, you know, the vision is the same. It's just a fresh or a different perspective.
But I'm wondering with that, the eclipse in Gemini, there may be some sudden news that turns our perspective a phrase we, you know, it's a time to be careful what you say because it can be something that flips over that page to a new perspective and we didn't mean it to. You know, if you say something that ticks off a friend and they back off, it may take a long time to get that reconnected. So work on trust. Watch the flippant Gemini comments. It's going to be a very mercurial time coming up. As everything that's indoors starts heading into Gemini, and the Sun, the Moon, and then Mercury all in 1 week, how to really look at how we're communicating, and is our communication serving us, and do we need, and to watch the tendency of the Gemini to get very fast, facile, and not necessarily very deep. Great time to be doing some PR after the eclipse, not before, because eclipse takes that moment and it eclipses what we're trying to do. It blocks it for a bit or reframes it. So if you want to launch something about PR, I would wait till after the eclipse and wait until Mercury goes into Gemini. But the process of working that and getting the word out, we might see really strange weather patterns. Winds that come and go, hold still or go too far, words that shift our worldview all that week.
Well, and I think, you know, we have an example in the collective with Barack Obama, you know, coming out in favor of gay marriage, you know, as a game shifter. You know, I was reminded in my innards about, you know, President Reagan never mentioning AIDS while he was in office. And here, you know, the leader saying, okay, I think this is equal rights. This is basically human rights. Mm-hmm. That is a game shifter, as saying, okay, I'm gonna put this on the table. I think this should happen. And then the rest of us going, wow. And so we were coming up in class tonight with the new word is evolve.
Mm-hmm.
We're all evolving. You know,
yes.
His thoughts have evolved, we can all evolve, and evolving is good. You know, let's move to the next level of evolution.
Yes, I'm so glad to see someone who thinks that holding on to their old stupid opinion isn't the point, you know,
right.
That we are here to evolve. That's what we're on Earth for.
Right.
So how do we evolve with that? And
we model evolution.
You're not saying I'm wrong. You're saying I'm evolving, and that's reasonable.
I really came up with a new way of thinking about it. And I think it's also, it's a model for how to go there. You don't have to say, you know, I learned, I grew. I paid attention, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I really want to come down on this side of this argument or that side of the argument. I can evolve. We all can evolve.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Gemini asked, because as we go into the season change, because the Sun also goes into Gemini this week on Sunday, or Saturday rather, Saturday or Sunday, someday this week, Sunday, as the Sun goes into Gemini, Gemini is all about the season changing from spring into summer and saying, hey, let's evolve, let's shift, let's change our energy, and let's become the new season, the new thing that calls us. So I think it's a really profound time. And I was personally very pleased. I thought that was a positive step, you know. And, you know, people go, you know, politically expedient. Yeah, it's going to cost him some votes, too. But I think
yes,
it is saying, you know, when we get right down to it, it's civil rights. It's what is,
mm-hmm.
are my rights different than yours? And that piece is, you know, evolving.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
very cool. So let me put out the phone number, and if anybody would like to call, we can take some callers. Our number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. Did you have any emails this week, Heather? Or letters or anything?
No, I didn't get any emails for us.
Okay. All right, cool.
It's fine.
Mark, you? I didn't get any, but I was like...
No.
No? Okay, cool. All right, so we'll put it out there. And then the other thing that we have this week is Mercury has a whole pile of aspects. But
he does, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's really busy. He's very, very talkative, and he's moving fast. He moves 14 degrees. He moves from 9 to 22, or 13 degrees. But also at the end of the week, on the 16th and the 17th, Jupiter is in conjunct Saturn, and then it is semi-square Pluto, or sesquiquadrate Pluto. And I always think when we have those outer planets doing things, our big relationship planets, and Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto, of course, are... You know, Jupiter, everybody in your year was born with the same Jupiter. Everybody in the same 2.5 years as you has the same Saturn. And then Pluto is kind of the generational. It's how we name the Gen X's and the baby boomers and whatever. And when Jupiter talks to Saturn and Pluto, in one case he's talking to his father. In the other case he's talking to his brother. And in both cases he's talking in aspects that require adjustment. And, of course, Saturn in the sign of relationships, you know, I just really feel like I've been seeing a lot of people going, I really need to work on my relationship levels or how my relationships are supposed to be structured. How do you guys see that in conjunct from Jupiter to Saturn first? And then secondly, from Jupiter to Pluto with a sesquiquadrate?
I'm wondering if whenever I see Jupiter, you know, Jupiter's all kinds of wonderful, expansive things, but it's also I see it as big money. It's all, you know, can be liberal and generous, but it's also big money. And I thought it was very interesting that as those aspects hit Jupiter, we had the big failure of J.P. Morgan, where they went, oops, you know, there went $1 billion. To their bank this week, that then called in, that's the Jupiter-Pluto, it called in new regulations. Now it's very hard to say the banks don't need regulations because they just proved why we do need some.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an interesting lineup around that piece.
Around that, Mark?
Yeah, that's really true. It is something that we have a hard time sort of curbing the idea of growth. And, you know, most of us feel like, oh, more is better. Whatever it is better. More and more and more. And so it's important, actually, that Jupiter does run into these squares and mm-hmm. sesquiquadrates because they're definitely speed bumps. They they cause the whole rig to get a big jolt, and we have to look at, you know, why are we speeding, and where are we speeding to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what happens. So we get really, you know, it's having a bit in the mouth that says, you know, go this way, slow down, and we need to do that. And if it's just Jupiter on his own, it's very hard to get ourselves to slow down or do with less or work more closely with what we have that's less. And, you know, instead of just sort of grabbing the next pile of good stuff.
Yeah. Big stuff. Let's play with it. Let's gamble with it. Yeah, let's go. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it as the banking thing. I was thinking of it as... you know, the adjustments that we're all making in relationships about what it, you know, how it shows up. But it certainly does show up in banking. with the because it is big money, Jupiter, Pluto. Cool. Good analogy. I like that. Yeah. And I do think we have a sense of, well, I shouldn't be limited. You know, don't limit me. And it's like, okay, we're not going to limit you. But, you know, when you do stuff like this, you're not building a case for being unregulated. You know? Oh, well, how are we going to get that money back? Well, let's pass along fees to the consumers. It's understanding, it's like, really? You can use that much money in a bet? You know, what else you got into that little hat of yours? So, you know, it's when, what's his name? I'm going to be very curious to see if Jamie Dimon survives this. Because he kind of did, ooh, we have egg on our face. Ooh, bad us. And then there was some woman who's taken the fall for it, you know, been there 29 years. You know, when you hear 29 years, you think Saturn. Mm-hmm. But I thought, okay, that's an interesting push-pull on that. So, all right, so we do have some callers. Let's go to the callers before we run out of time because the show goes fast. Hi, 207-538. You got a question for us?
Yes, I do. My birthday is January 27th. 1959, and I'd like to know, 11:50 a.m.
Okay.
And I'd like to know how, 59.
50 a.m. And where was that?
That's in Queens, New York.
Queens. And what would you like to know, hon?
I'd like to know how the Venus and the eclipse are going to affect me personally,
okay,
and any other transits for the next few weeks that might affect me.
Okay, giving us a minute here. I'm pulling up a progress chart and taking a look at that.
9:11:50 in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that the thing I noticed immediately, the eclipse is going to wake up, you know, your creative. It's going to square creative. It's coming in your first house. Starts a new cycle for you. And you've got a lot of stuff at the 22, 23, so you've been dealing with a lot of changes this year. And with Saturn in your sixth house of work and health, you've probably been working with some health issues or figuring out, like, directional stuff. So what I think the eclipse will do is it'll enlighten you. It'll help you see, oh, okay, and it's been going, it was, the nodes were going through your money house, now they're going through you, your first house, and saying to you, okay, so, like, what's the vision? What's the plan? And the square to Pluto in the fifth says, it's a little wide, but I give it to you, because Pluto's been so activated lately anyway with Uranus and Pluto, saying to you, well, what are you doing that feeds your creativity, and how do you want to kind of pull all the stuff that you're doing together? You're starting a new 12-year cycle. Last year has been a little hard, a lot of endings, a lot of releases. What does the next 12 years look like? What does the next vision of your life be? And with Neptune in the sixth, you really need to have an overriding vision because it squares your sun and it helps you feel better if you have a vision of what you're trying to do. So that would be my take. Heather, Mark, what do you guys think?
Mark? One of the things I'm seeing with your chart is right now, today, the Sun and Jupiter conjunction are coming across your ascendant. And so, you know, for the last year, you've been doing a lot of work inside, and you tend to do an awful lot of work inside anyway. And you have in this next year a real chance to step forward and be seen and expand your world. But that's going to take getting over some of your own nerves and your own self-consciousness. Because I see one of the issues in your chart is, you know, a really creative soul, but that you tend to edit yourself too much with that Virgo Moon-Pluto conjunction. And that looks like it runs on the female side of your family, all your mother and mother issues, and her tendency to probably, or someone on that side's family, to correct you in the hopes of improving you, but left you with a strong inner editor. And, like, you get creative, and then you kind of pull back, and then creative, and then can be a little hard on yourself. But you've got a beautiful Mercury-Mars trine from the midheaven to the ascendant. So if you can get going and get past your self-consciousness And, you know, just go ahead and write and then come in and edit later rather than trying to write, edit while you're writing, or go ahead and paint and then work on improving it, or whatever your art form is. Give yourself some room to imagine it, play with it, and work with it. You know, there's some, in about, 9 to 10 months, you've got some emotional work to do around family issues as your progressed moon conjuncts Pluto. But for the next few months, for this summer, I think it's really important to experiment with your creative side. Experiment with what could be and kind of step off of the usual path so that you can find your way. Venus is going to be retrograding back and forth in your first house of creative, of seeing yourself as a more creative person and more, and therefore more lovable. Did you have a specific question for us on this?
Well, I'm looking at finances. I'd like them to increase.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who wouldn't? But I need it right now.
Sure.
You're really gonna want to have to anything with finances. You're gonna have to do very responsibly.
Right.
You're gonna have to really work with Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially the way this eclipse lines up. It's anything that you do, you really need to be very responsible for, and at the same time, anything you are responsible for will go for you. But you know, don't try to cut corners. So, in finance, figure whatever it is you are going to earn, what is going to be an increase for you. So don't look to luck on this one. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
And what's your source of income? I mean, with that, you talk about your creative process. Do you find that anxiety, that you tend to worry about money, or do you have you found a way of tying your creative process to making money?
I wish I could do that, but I worry about it.
I know. I think you worry a lot, and I think that was sort of how your mom trained you, that's what you do to love yourself is to worry a lot.
Yes.
But it may be stopping you from being, you actually will probably make more money by finding a way of tapping into your creative process or your sense of aesthetics. You've got Venus up there in the 10th house, and Venus rules your ascendant, that if somehow your graciousness and your creativity and your warmth is something you actually make money from and will help you worry less.
I follow you, yes. I think you're right.
Okay. Anne, do you have anything else to add to that?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, my feeling is, you know, part of it is that a lot of the economic stuff we've been going through over the last few years is about to come to an end. Because the node was going through your second house. So a lot of the financial stuff, you know, kind of didn't matter what you did. You know, it just kept going out the door. Okay. And that whole part is starting to end because the node is now out of the second house of money and finance. And so I think you're going to find that, your ability to create again will be coming back in, which I think when it does, it'll make you feel more. So... And that's it. The British lady is talking. So I guess we'll say goodbye. It's a half an hour. It went really fast. So my name is Anne Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York, and I'm at my bright red desk, and I am joined by my lovely companions, Mark and Heather. Heather and Mark, who wants to go first?
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking goodbye from the banks of the Mississippi and Minnesota. And remember that if you have any personal questions, we're always happy to answer them and do a reading for you personally. And Mark?
Mark Waltz in New York City. And you can look us up on astronyc.com. Send us an email. All right.
Yeah, send it to us here at Block Talk Radio. Take care and talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.